Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome here to our afternoon service at Calvary Baptist Church of Fairhairn. Once again, welcome all those in tune with us via internet and FM station here in town. Please open hymnals to number 323. More love to thee. 323.
Father, we're thankful that we can make this a prayer, that we can have more love to thee. We're thankful for the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts if we're saved, and that we need to yield ourselves to that love and to thy direction in our lives. We thank thee for the opportunity to gather again together here. We pray for each one that's listening, that thy will be accomplished. Pray for those that are traveling, that they have safety, and that thy will be done in their lives as well. We thank thee for the visitors that we had this morning. We pray that thy will be done in each one that was listening. We thank thee for the power of thy word, and we trust that thy word will continue to do, accomplish that which thou hast purposed it to do, and we know that thy will is for people to be saved and for saints to be strengthened. So we pray that thy will be done as we preach thy word this afternoon as well. We pray for the nation of Israel, continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for Mr. Netanyahu, that he'd be saved, for many other Jews, for their salvation. We pray also for thy will to be accomplished in the United States and Canada, that many would be saved in these countries, and leadership as well as corrupt leadership in both countries. We pray for the salvation of many. We thank thee for the many that do join us via our live streaming and our sermon audio. We just pray that as they listen to thy word, that they would allow thee to speak to their hearts and to direct them, that they would know thy peace and blessing. So So guide and direct us here that thy will be accomplished, that we would honor thee in all that's said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And over to 326. 3:26. More about Jesus. The banner of the cross. Number 410.
Standard be displayed, and beneath its fold.
as soldiers of the Lord, for the truth be that is made. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown him king, toil and sin. The glorious tidings told of the crimson banner, now the story tell, while the Lord shall claim his own. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown him king, toil and sing. Drawing very near, it is his thing day by day. Then before our King the force shall disappear, and across the world shall sway. Marching on, marching on, for Christ counts everything but loss, and to crown him King. Toil and sing, need the banner of the cross.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philemon. To the close of that book today. Philemon, we're going to be reading verses 23 to 25 of that book. We'll stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Philemon, verses 23 and 22-25. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again that we have thy word, thankful again for the Apostle Paul and his willingness to obey thee and to write the things that thou didst tell him to write, for the help that we can find in relationships and dealing with master-servant relationships, and how important it is to know thee and to allow thee to direct us so that we can serve thee faithfully in whatever place we have in life, that we can know thy peace and have thy blessing in our lives. So we pray that thou wouldst guide us as we look at these verses, as we look at these individuals that the Apostle Paul was told to write down, and that we can learn from these men and follow thee faithfully and serve thee faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message is The Importance of God's Grace. The Importance of God's Grace. We have noted that Philemon was a man of some means. He was a master, and he had servants, and one of those servants had run away from him. And God had worked in Onesimus' life and brought him to Rome, where the Apostle Paul was, and through that meeting, Onesimus was saved. Onesimus was obviously tired of running, tired of his life of sin. And the Holy Spirit had been working in his heart, and he's the one that directed him to become tired of his old life. And he turned to God and was saved, and he was changed. That's the blessing of biblical salvation, is that it changes the individual who is saved. They are no longer the same as they were. They now have the love of God in them, and that is evidence in their life as they move forward. So the first thing we notice here again is finding good companionship. In verse 23, it says there, "Salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus." Now, in the first century, the Christian life was not an easy life. Rome was not friendly toward true Christianity. Rome was much like our government. They were a secular government. They had their own false religion that they followed. And they had a system of government that was not a democratic system, but it was a dictatorship of sorts. The rulers were appointed and generally followed in succession, and the people just needed to follow what they were told to do. The soldiers were at the bidding of the leaders. They did whatever they were told to do, and the people had a fear of the government. The Judaizers had convinced Rome that true Christians were the problem. They should not tolerate them. And so the Judaizers were given a fair amount of liberty by the Roman government to persecute the Christians. And they had the support of the government. If the Judaizers, if their leaders decided somebody should be imprisoned, then the Roman government would imprison them because they didn't want trouble. So the Judaizers wanted to keep control. They were power hungry, and they wanted everybody to follow their religious beliefs. And so for true Christians, it was a challenge because they were being attacked from several fronts. And so we find the Apostle Paul, during the writing of this short letter, being in Rome and being a prisoner. And here in this verse, it says, "There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner." So some have wondered, was he a true fellow prisoner, or was Paul just speaking of that in the sense of him being a follower of Christ? Well, it says fellow prisoner, so I believe that is exactly what he was. He was another prisoner, and as we have mentioned, that the Apostle Paul, because he was not a violent man, he had no record of murder or anything like that, and God gave him liberty even though he was in prison. He had soldiers guarding him, but he also had the ability, as he did with Onesimus, he had the ability to meet people and to counsel people even while he was a prisoner. And so it was a unique setup that he had because God was in charge. So even though he didn't have the freedom to travel wherever he wanted to, he still had the freedom to meet people and the freedom to influence people with the truth. And Epaphras was a fellow prisoner with Paul, but you notice there that he's a fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. And that's again important for us to understand if we're saved. Our master is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so while we are bound by certain rules in this world, we have laws in our country that we need to follow. If you're an employee, you have rules that your boss has set as to what he wants of you, and you need to follow them as long as they're not breaking God's law. And so there are things that we need to submit to, but we need to remember that the reason why we follow those rules is because we serve God. And so as long as our authorities are not seeking to usurp God's place, we can submit to them, and in doing that, we can be a help to others. So Paul here has a friend with him in prison, a fellow prisoner, it says, someone who could be there, they could encourage one another as they were in prison, and they could also be a help to others who would be traveling through. Epaphras would not have been someone who was a secret Christian. Otherwise, he would never have ended up in prison. So he was a faithful follower of God, and thus a help to the Apostle Paul and to others as well. The second thing that we see is the importance of fellow laborers. It tells us in verse 23, mentioned several men, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So there were others who were not in prison, but they were also serving God. Marcus there would be John Mark. Now, John Mark, we know a little bit about John Mark from other passages. We know that he was a young Christian in the book of Acts, and he went out with Paul and Barnabas on their first evangelistic endeavor. And as they were traveling, the Apostle Paul, of course, was not appreciated, and he was stoned, and they were beaten. And John Mark didn't like that, and so he ran back home. He didn't stick around. So on the second trip that Paul was planning, Barnabas insisted that they take John Mark with them again. But Paul said, no way, we're not on a babysitting trip here. We're going out to preach the gospel, and we can't be wasting our time with babysitting somebody who isn't ready to stand for the Lord. And so the Bible tells us that the division was so strong that they split. Paul and Barnabas, they split ways. And God directed the Apostle Paul to take Silas with him. And so from there on, Paul and Silas traveled together. And Barnabas took John Mark, and we read nothing more about them, except that later on we find that John Mark had learned some things. And so the Apostle Paul realized that he could now be an asset to him, a help to him. And so obviously in our passage here, John Mark has learned some things. He's now a faithful servant of God, and so now he is called my fellow laborer. He's someone that learned some things, learned some necessary, important things about being a Christian and of serving God faithfully. That's very important. Then we have Aristarchus. Aristarchus, we don't read much about him. We know that he was a believer from Thessalonica. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 29, we read there, it says, "And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater." So Aristarchus, again, was a, as it tells us here, a fellow laborer. Again, not someone trying to hide, but someone who was a helper, a faithful helper, one standing alongside the Apostle Paul. And, of course, because of that, he got entangled with those who wanted to hurt the Apostle Paul, wanted to stop the preaching of the gospel. In Acts chapter 27, verse 2, it says, "And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us." So here on Paul's trip to Rome, Aristarchus was with them on that trip. So he was someone who was close to Paul, someone who was a genuine help to Paul, and a blessing to him. And so God directed Paul to mention him here in this passage. Demas, the next one there, had also been called a fellow laborer, and he had been faithful to God for a while. But we find in 2 Timothy that this man chose not to continue with Paul. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." So Demas is mentioned here in the book of Philemon. And at that time, he was still a fellow laborer of God, of Christ, but later he left. He chose the things of this world, loving this present world more than the things of God. And that's the sad reality that we find in the Christian life, is there are people who will follow and seemingly wanting to serve God for a time, but they grow weary in the battle, and the pressures, the draw of the world is more enticing to them than the things of God. And as we noted in this morning's devotional, the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy and encouraging Timothy to keep the things that he had learned. Keep them, not to let them slip away. And Demas, even though he was a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul, he was obviously not, his mind and his heart were not attuned to the things of God. The same thing that we see in a different sense, but also with Judas, one of Jesus' disciples, who spent 3.5 years with him, heard the same preaching and teaching that the other disciples heard, and yet he never accepted it. He was never a fellow laborer, and he chose the world over Christ, and he was a thief and stole from the things that were given for the ministry in the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, and ended up taking his own life after betraying Jesus Christ and finding out that wasn't the answer to his need. The money that he got from that didn't help him anything. So then we have Lucas. Well, Lucas, that is Luke, and Luke is the one we're studying the gospel that he recorded. And Luke was also the writer of the book of Acts. And so he was a traveler with the Apostle Paul, and he traveled around with him and wrote as God directed him. And here he is also called a fellow laborer. So what else he did besides that? But that was an important work as well, to record the things that God had given to Paul that were necessary to be reported. And so it was important, again, to have this helper with him. So, again, God directed Paul to mention these men because it is important for us in the ministry to have those who labor with us. God's work is never a one-man show. Sometimes when we move to a new area, we may be one person or one couple. But then God directs and he draws other people to help. And I believe that's the case here. I believe God has drawn some people here to help us. I believe God has also drawn other people who have said, no, we're not going to do that. Because I believe that this is a work of God, that God wants to go forward. But the sad reality is that people need to choose what they're going to do, and some people just don't want to be obedient to God's calling. So it's very important to be servants of God, fellow laborers, and to be willing to get into the work and to identify with the truth and to help to bear the burden of serving God together. It's God's will and God's way of doing things that we work together to see his work going forward. And so then the third thing that we see here is the necessity of God's grace. In verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Speaking again here to Philemon. You notice that this grace needed to be in and with Philemon's spirit. So it's not something that is just superficial, but it needs to be right the inner part of the saved person. And so it is essential to any true Christian work being done that we operate under the grace of God. We cannot do the work of God apart from the grace of God. And this grace that God is talking about here is not that grace that the Calvinist talks about, where the Calvinist believes that you need to follow certain rules, and that some people, they believe that some people are destined to be saved and others are not. And then what about the thief on the cross? Well, when they deal with that, when they say, well, that was by God's grace. well, anybody is saved by God's grace, and what they believe is that God's grace overlooks sin. And that's not the truth at all. By God's grace, we are saved, and we can be forgiven when we are saved. But the grace being spoken of here is that helping grace that is necessary in order for us to be able to serve God. The Apostle Paul would never have been able to endure the hardships that he faced, the stoning, the beatings, the imprisonments, the hungering, and so on. He would never have been able to face that if he did not have the grace of God at work in his life. In 2 Corinthians, when he deals with that thorn in the flesh that he had, the answer that he got from God is, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And so the Apostle Paul was content with that. He didn't have everything that he wanted, his flesh wanted, but he had everything that he needed in his Christian life and in his life as an apostle. So the grace of God is what helps us to remain steadfast, not like Demas in verse 24, and unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. So when we know the Lord, we can serve him faithfully, and we can be a blessing to others. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes there, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." So again, very similar wording, but written here to the brethren rather than just to one individual. So again, every Christian needs to function under the grace of God. God's grace is available for all saints, and we need that in our lives if we're going to be effective servants of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 22, we read there, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." So again, addressed there to Timothy, and again, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you." So the word grace, as translated here in our text, is found 156 times in 147 verses. So it's a well-used word in the New Testament, and it's an important gift that God gives to his children. So again, as we notice here in our verse, as well as the other two that I read to you before, it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if we go back to John chapter 1, John chapter 1, and we read there in John chapter 1 and in verse 14, it tells us, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The same grace there as we are talking about here. So this word grace, again, is not that saving grace that we read of in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, but this is that grace that Jesus is full of. It's his grace, and he gives it to his children. And so the Apostle Paul is desiring Philemon to function under this grace, the grace of Jesus Christ. And what is that grace? Well, the grace of Jesus Christ is that grace that Philemon would need in order for him to forgive Onesimus and to receive him now not as a servant, but as a brother. He was now a saved man, and while he might still function as an employee of Philemon, Philemon needed to accept him in a different manner now. He needed to see him in a different way. And while Onesimus had been unfaithful and had run away from him, the Apostle Paul could not continue to work with him as, "Oh yeah, you're that servant that ran away from me, I can't trust you." No, he needed to see him differently because Onesimus was now saved, and so therefore he could be trusted. Again, that's the difference between biblical salvation and the pseudo-salvation of the new evangelical. Onesimus was a different man now, but Philemon needed to understand that, and he needed to accept him in a different way, in the way that Jesus Christ had already accepted him, because he was saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that's the same way that you and I need to function if we're saved. We need to look at fellow believers in a different light. We may have known someone in our earlier life. Maybe we knew them as a lost person, as a untrustworthy person, but then they get saved. And if we still know them after they're saved, we need to understand if they're truly saved, they're going to be a different person. Maybe they've even cheated us on something or whatever, but we cannot continue to hold that against them. We need to see them in a different light. Now, if they have cheated us or stolen from us, if they're saved, they will want to make that right. But as fellow believers, we also need to look at them in a different way, and we need to treat them different and need to seek to help them to grow in the Lord as we also need to grow. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is very essential to the Christian life. It's not something that we can function in properly in the flesh. We need to have God working in our hearts in order for us to be able to treat other people as we ought to. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to work with the disciples, and the disciples were slow to learn, Jesus said, while he was on this earth. He taught them things, and then they would come back with questions that he had already taught them, and so he needed to remind them of things. They were slow to learn, and yet Jesus didn't give up on them, and that's the same for us too. We need to work with others, and sometimes there are things that we think that they should know and they should be moving on from, but they're not ready to, and we need to be willing to continue to work with them and to help them to be able to grow stronger in the Lord. The writer of the book of Hebrews talks about the time when we should be having meat and we still need to have milk. And so that's the way it is. Some people just are longer, slower in yielding to God and in growing in Him. But they are saints, and so we need to continue to work with them and help them to grow and encourage them to grow as God would want them to. Jesus also demonstrated his grace in his attitude towards the thief on the cross. When we read the accounts of Jesus' crucifixion, we see that both of the thieves railed on Jesus when they were first put on the cross and when he was put on the cross. But then one of those thieves realized, wait a minute, we belong here, but Jesus doesn't belong here. And he turned to Jesus and asked Jesus to remember him when he entered into his kingdom. And so we know that thief was asking for Jesus to forgive him and to save him. And Jesus' response to that thief was that today thou shalt thou be with me in paradise. So Jesus didn't hesitate to forgive that thief and to give him eternal life. And so we also need to be that way with other people. We need to be willing to work with them, and someone may slander us, but if they turn to God later on, we need to understand that we need to forgive them. And yes, they were not nice to us, but God changes people, and we can be thankful for that when God works in the heart of an individual and brings them to the place of salvation. So God's grace is essential to live the Christian life, and so we find often that the Apostle Paul mentions that in his letters. If you look back at verse 3, in the introduction, in the opening of this letter, in verse 3, Paul there says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And so there again we see that God directed Paul to write to Philemon about this grace that he needed in his life. And oftentimes in the New Testament we find that this grace is directly connected to God's peace as well. And so when we are functioning under God's grace, then we can be at peace with God. We can be at peace with our fellow man, and we can be at peace with God. And so Jesus Christ offered salvation and still does to all people. Even the Pharisees, Nicodemus, who came to him at night asking about who he was, later was saved. And he was a man who was there to help to take Jesus off the cross and to bury him. And he was there to argue against the chief priest's wrong attitude toward Jesus. And so he was a man who also was a beneficiary of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is with every true child of God. And so as we come to the end of this letter, we see here that the closing remarks that God directed Paul to make were important, mentioning several individuals who have been read for many centuries now, studied, and how that we can learn from these individuals of the importance of being fellow laborers with God's people in God's work. And we can also be warned of those who seem to be encouraged to walk with the Lord, but then later on drift away, turn away, and choose to walk off into the world. And so it's important for us to pray for one another, to encourage one another, and to seek to be faithful to the work of God, and in that way we are an encouragement to other believers. It's always good to see another Christian walking faithfully with the Lord, and to be blessed with witnessing that and also being assisted in the work of God in that way. So the Christian life is never something that is worthless. It's always something that we can find encouragement in. We can become discouraged, but if we are truly saved, we will get back into the Word of God, and that's where we will get our encouragement from. And then we can continue on because of the grace of God, which is working in our hearts and in our lives. So, very important little book, short book that we have read here in regard to how we deal with relationships in a secular world, and even when we have places of authority, how we deal with other people, and how we need to be willing to forgive them, and how we need to treat Christians as brothers, and in a good way. Some brothers don't get along at all. They fight all the time. But Christian brothers, they have that genuine love and concern for one another, and they seek to help one another to grow in the things of God. So as we continue to study the Word of God, we need to be allowing Him to direct us, that we can know His blessing in our lives as well. And again, if you're listening today and you're not saved, that's the place to start. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, and then begin to serve Him in the way that He wants you to. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful again that we have Thy Word. We're thankful again that we can study Thy Word. We can be blessed as we study Thy Word. It's a privilege for us to be able to look at some of these men that the Apostle Paul mentions here, and to see how that some of them, they were fellow laborers. They were involved with Him close at hand. They were not ashamed to be identified with Him, sometimes being arrested with Him, sometimes being imprisoned with Him. But they were not ashamed. They did not walk away, except for the one man that we read of here, which was Demas, who chose the things of this world over the things of the Lord. So we pray for one another here today that we would be faithful, that we would not be discouraged in the things of God, but that we would be faithful to Thee, and that we can be that blessing to one another that Thou wouldst have us to be in this world in which we live, that Thy will would be accomplished, and that we can help others to know Thy peace and truth as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.